Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. Well, I've taken a little bit of a hiatus and, I'm really happy to be back because I focused on what I wanted to do, which is get my health back and feeling better than I have in a while. So I'm very excited about that. But hey, I have Tracy with me, and that's even more exciting because it's been a while and I love having Tracy on the show. So welcome back, Tracy.
Nice to be back.
Okay, so a lot has been happening. I know that you... Oh, yeah. We don't even want to go into it, although some of it's going to come up. But yes, so a lot has been going on. You listened to something that is going to be wonderful. Plus, we're going to bring in Following Our Hearts, and I think that's going to be a nice tie-in. So let's start with Bruce Lipton's story.
Okay, so I was listening to a 27-minute beginning of a course. So he's got a course right now called Inner Evolution, and you can find it on Gaia.com. That's Gaia.com. I make no money from telling you that. There's no payback. There's no affiliate, anything from telling you that. And I watched the first course of this, the first session of this, and it was 27 minutes long. And in that 27 minutes, he painted a picture for us, for our imagination. And it was so helpful. It was so helpful. He started talking to us, and the visuals, by the way, of these videos that they're making on Gaia, stupendous.
Yeah.
So he started by talking to us about a caterpillar. A caterpillar that's just busy eating and eating and eating and eating and eating all of the leaves on a tree. Just eating and eating and eating. And he said, greedily eating. Greedily eating and eating and eating till the caterpillar is just so filled up with eating. And then it's time for the next phase of the caterpillar's life. And it's now coming into that chrysalis phase where that whole coating is being created around it. And of course, everybody kind of gets the chrysalis phase of the caterpillar, where the caterpillar is now going to become the butterfly. But now he paints more of a picture. So we've had the greedy caterpillar eating and eating and eating, and now it's coming into this phase of just being cocooned, lockdown, cocooned. And now he starts to talk about cells, because he's all about cells. Bruce Lipton is a cellular biologist, so he starts to talk about cells. And he says, okay, so now you've got these cells that have created the caterpillar, and they're now dissolving. They're now turning into goo, like gooey, gooey, gooey substance, as those cells are being destroyed, 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 falling away, falling away, falling away. The caterpillar, as we know it, is falling away and dissolving and turning into goo.
I like the analogy.
And then he says what's also happening in that chrysalis is there's these other cells. And there's other cells that are starting to build. And they're starting to form. And they're starting to form something. But what they're forming, we don't know. And it's not something that you get a vision of, that you can sink your teeth into. It's just they're busy. The cells are busy just replicating and forming into something else. But you've still got all of this goo that's being created. And the caterpillar is no more. And all of what was the foundation, I thought that was also one, the foundation of what made the caterpillar, the bones, it falling away, dissolving away, turning into goo. Like, just think about all the foundational things that we have clung to that you're sitting there going, what? What are you kidding me? I'm clinging to the Constitution and you guys aren't paying attention to it. I'm clinging to human rights and you're not paying attention to it. I'm clinging to like, what? That doesn't matter anymore. That doesn't matter anymore. Oh, in this emergency response, that doesn't matter anymore. I'm clinging to all these things that are just dissolving away. And here we are in the cocoon, locked down in the cocoon, where something else is building. But we can't see it. We can't see our future. We can't see what's building. We can't see what's being made. And he said, the reason why we can't see it is because we're building it. Mm. We're in the process of building it. Hmm. Now, he didn't say this, but I'm going to say this. It's going to form into something.
Definitely.
So, and maybe it's going to form into a butterfly. But is it going to form into a butterfly that can fly? Hmm. Is it going to form into a butterfly that's beautiful? Just a beautiful, big, healthy, vital butterfly coming out of that lockdown, coming out of that cocoon? Is that what we're building? Is that what we're building?
Let's hope.
And then he speaks about choices. And he speaks about choices and the importance of choices.
Yeah.
And the importance of having a choice. If this butterfly is the world, if this butterfly is the world that we're going to create, what kind of world, when this is over, when this lockdown, lock it all down, ooze, guckiness, when all of this is over and all the guck has been used to create that butterfly, which is our new world, what do we want that to look like? What are we prepared to give away? What are we prepared to walk away from? What are we prepared? Like, what is that going to look like? Mm-hmm. Here on this earth. Mm-hmm. How is it going to be for us in consciousness, as human consciousness here on this earth? What's important to us? What's important to us? Not what's important to us. And I'm going to say this, not because he said it, he didn't say it, but I'm sitting here right now going, all right, let's think about it. What's important to us? If there was no fear and we just came down into heart and we just came back into heart where we're connected with soul, where we're connected with spirit, we just come right into heart and we take all the fear. We take all the fear that we've been feeling. And sure, we can come back and feel it in 5 minutes, but let's just take all the fear that there is, all the fear that's been mounting, all the fear that's been created by us or somebody else. Let's just take all that fear and put it in containment. Let's pick a corner of a room that we're in. It's what I do in my office a lot. Pick your corner. My corner is off to the left. It's up in the ceiling. It's off to the left. I could point to that corner off to the left in front of me, not behind me. That's my corner. I don't turn around. It's not behind me. It's in front of me. It's a corner that I can see. Why it's a left corner, I have no frickin' idea. But my containment field has always been in my left corner of my office, in the corner where the ceiling is. That containment field is an imaginary containment field. And to me, it wasn't a prison. It was a containment field, almost like I saw it as a school. It was almost like that containment field could actually function as a school where ascended masters would come to that school, where just highly conscious energies of love and light would come to be in that school and would come to help to heal and would come to help to rebalance. So that was a rebalancing place, but it contained things. Didn't imprison them, it contained them, almost like a membrane. So that's my containment field. So my choice is that I want to take all of that fear that I've been feeling, all of that anxiety that I've been feeling, all of the fear that's come into me from others' feelings, I want to take all of that for the next 5 minutes. For the next 5 minutes, I want to take all of that and put it energetically in the containment field in that corner of the room, which I'm sitting in. And it's going to be there for the next 5 minutes. And it's going to give me breathing space for the next 5 minutes. Now, if you want to choose 10 minutes or 15 minutes, knock yourself out. I like to choose shorter periods of time to let people know, to give people the opportunity to feel the experience. Because if we get it all sent there for 5 minutes, then when we bring it back, we can feel that too. And then maybe you don't want it back. And they say, well, I don't want it back. Well, great. Well, then let's just surrender it back to source. Like, let's just not even play around with the containment field. Let's just surrender it back to source if it felt much better to be without it than to be with it. Again, choice. It's all energy.
Right.
So we're delivering that. Now let's deliver all the stories. Let's deliver all the stories that are contained within us, the ones that we've accessed, the ones that we haven't accessed, the ones that we're accessing now because of all the craziness, those stories that are being triggered within us. Let's take all of that and put it all into containment for 5 minutes. I just want 5 minutes peace from all of these energetic stories that have been hijacking me and containing me and troubling me and embedded within me. Mine or someone else's, all the way through the ages, just all back into containment.
Yeah.
And now I get to sit with me. Now I get to sit with me. No stories, no fear, no anxiety, no any of those things. I've contained it for a period of time so that I can just be with me. Now, what kind of world would I like to create? What's important to me? Not important to me when I sit in that fear.
Right.
Important to me now, while I am here with no fear and no old stories animating my process. What's important to me? Is rule of law important to me?
Mm.
Is it important to me to have some sort of legal structure in the fabric of society or not?
Not to me, but...
but then you think about that, and if there weren't some legal structure, then you think about that, and it's like, okay, well, then there aren't rules of the road then. Then there aren't rules that say, you stop at a red light, you go at a green light, you go slow at a yellow light, and then nothing happens? Nothing happens if you just fly through the red light, smash into a couple of cars? Right. But it's an interesting piece, right? But you're just sitting with yourself.
Yeah, I get it.
Right. You're just sitting with you. Like, what stays? What stays? What have I been throwing away that truly is important? What have I been saying? Well, that's okay. That doesn't matter right now. This is an emergency. It doesn't matter right now. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Compassion doesn't matter. Right. No, we're here now. We're here now. And we're not allowing fear or old stories or things that we're grooved in to make those decisions for us. We're not throwing us under the bus. We're not throwing somebody else under the bus and saying they don't matter. We're saying it all matters.
Hmm.
Or what matters? And what kind of world does my heart, does my soul, does my spirit want to live in here on this earth? Because maybe our souls and our spirits, it hasn't been a great place to live here. That it's been very challenging for us to maintain connection with the souls and the spirits and the light of us here immersed in all of these old stories.
Yeah.
And here, living in such pain.
Yeah.
So do we want to live in that kind of pain still? Do we want to be grooved by these old stories that we've just put into containment? Do we want to live in separation? Do we want to continue to live in separation? Now we're really pushing this issue of separation, and we're asking people to separate even more. And we're asking people to now we're giving you another reason to separate from that neighbor and get away from that neighbor and judge that neighbor. And is this the world you want to live in?
Not me.
So then what do you want to choose? What do you want to choose? Do you want to choose a world? Do you want to choose a world to live in here on this earth that is a world of connectedness, that's a world of harmony, that's a world where people live in harmony? Like, it's almost like, oh, it's an emergency situation. This COVID thing's out. No, we can't live in harmony. We can't live in harmony. No, there is no harmony right now. Stop. Stop. I'm not choosing. See, if you choose to give up harmony, and if you choose to give up compassion, and if you literally say, this is the reason why I'm giving this up, I am releasing myself from harmony. I'm releasing myself from compassion. I'm releasing myself from connectedness. Then how the hell do you expect your souls to function well? How do they function well when your consciousness is sitting here in a state willing to give up the idea of connectedness, give up the idea of harmony, give up the idea of compassion? That message is a message that your cells are hearing loud and clear.
Right.
And now you have a liver that is not harmonizing well with your stomach, and you're not digesting foods well. Why? Because you just said that to yourself. You just told yourself that it's okay. It's okay to live like this. That is not digestible to your beingness. It's not okay for your body to not live in harmony with wholeness and with its entire surroundings. It's not okay. Your liver still has to know that it's in harmony with the brain. It has to know that it's in harmony with the eyes. It has to know that it's in harmony with the mouth. It has to know that it's in harmony with the wholeness of you. So if you give up living in harmony, and if you give up living in connectedness, and you give up these things, because we have to give up these things, and we must live in separation like this, and we must make separation the way, then there is no way that that is the best way for this body to function, and for you to function, or for society to function.
Yeah.
Society is just another wholeness. The society of Toronto is another wholeness to the part of you. Within the part, it's the whole. Within the whole is the part. And it's another reason why I'm refusing to operate from this place of separation. Because within the heart is the whole. Within the whole is the part. And I'm not buying into this because I don't want in any way for my body to get messaging that it's okay to live in separation. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Liver, you're going to be fine. Just live in separation for a while, a year or so. Live in isolation for a year or so from your stomach, from the stomach. Live in isolation from the colon. It's okay. It's okay. And you tell yourself it's okay. And you tell yourself it's okay. It's freaking not okay.
It's definitely not okay.
And your heart knows it. And your heart knows it. And all of this stuff has gotten people so afraid that they can't even connect with their heart.
Yeah.
And so they're telling themselves that all of this stuff is okay, and they do not get the consequences to the body, the physical body, when they're doing this. Not to mention the consequences to their mental state, their consequences to their emotional state, their consequences to the heart, the physical heart, mm-hmm. the emotional heart, the spiritual heart.
Yeah.
So it's not just about, gee, I'm not prepared to throw my body under the bus to take this vaccine, to throw my body on the bus. I'm not prepared to throw my body under the bus. by continuing to allow myself to live in these illusions of separation and continue to say, oh, that's okay. That's okay with me. So I will socially distance out of respect for the person behind me that's not in this place, but I will never tell myself that this is okay. I will do this out of respect to another person and where they are in time and space. I will do this from a compassionate place to another person who doesn't get this.
Yeah.
And who can't see this.
Yeah.
But I will always make sure that my brain knows that this is not okay. That I do this compassionately for another person. And there isn't really a cost for me. Right. As long as I maintain that clarity of I do this separation little dance for them, but there's only a certain amount that I'm going to do for them. And it for them, whoever the them is.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be stepping forward to take one of these genetically altered pieces of information.
Mm-hmm.
That they call vaccines because they needed to call it a vaccine, because that's the only way that this was going to be usable in an emergency situation. And up until they called it a vaccine and got it accepted as a vaccine, it was considered an illegal genetic substance. Where there was no permission to put it into a body.
Yeah.
Until there was. So there is a point, but I will always work to have compassion for where people are.
Yes. Acceptance. Yes.
But there's only a point.
Mm-hmm.
Before I say no more. I can't do this. I'm not willing to give up connection to my soul. I'm not willing to give up connection to my spirit. I'm not willing to give up connection to the light within myself and what I know is right from that place.
Mm-hmm.
From that place. Not from a fearful brain place and not from a fearful heart place. So to me, that discernment comes from a place where I do exactly that. I come into the office when I'm really upset about something and I put all the upset into containment. I put all the upset, I put all of the judgment that I have towards this and that. I put it, and boy, there's a lot of places that I could judge stuff. And I put it all into that containment field because I want to be with me. I want to be with me. I want to be with the truth of me. I want to be with the light of me. I want to connect to the soul of me and the spirit of me. And I want to breathe that in and connect with that. And it's very easy to get lost in judgment. It's really easy to get lost in judgment. And what I say, and I think I've said it before on this radio show, if you or me are in judgment of anything, we're not clear. That's all I know. We're not clear. We're not clear. And we're not in that place of absolute, beautiful, pure connection to the soul of us, the spirit of us, the light of us in that moment that we are judging anything. Because everything that is happening in our world is happening for highest and best all the time. The universe, I love this. The universe is always working to rebalance things, always working to rebalance things, is never going to stop rebalancing things ever. No matter how much we might want it, will you just stop rebalancing something today? Oh my goodness. It will never do that. And so it's doing that now. Hmm. It's doing that now. And boy, oh boy, is it messy. Boy, oh boy, is it yucky. Boy, oh boy. And yet I will sit there and remind myself that there is a rebalancing that is happening now as I breathe. There is new information coming in. There is light coming in. There is rebalancing coming in, even though this looks so bad right now and feels so yucky right now. Mm. And when I feel when it's gone too far so that I'm not happy in my body, and I get my body is just not happy, and my body is just not joyful, and I am not happy, and I am not joyful, and I am sitting in a depressed state, and I am in an angry place, and I look at my face, and I go, wow, that face is an angry face. That face is an angry face. I'm really angry. Or what was the word they used? Sullen. I had no idea what sullen meant until I knew what sullen meant. But apparently sullen means anger, internal anger, like putting a bright face on outside when you're seething inside, when you're just really angry inside. Interesting. That's sullen. Hmm. And so I will, it's a choice. Right. Do I want to be with me or do I not want to be with me? Or do I want to be with all of this? Oh my God, I've been with all of this for the last 4 hours. No wonder my face looks like this.
Sorry.
I need to come back to being with me. I need to come back to being one with the truth that the universe is always rebalancing things. I need to come back. I just got lost in this big story. I just got lost in it, and boy, oh boy, was it easy to do. So easy to do, so slithering to do, I didn't even realize for the first 2 hours I was getting lost in some story. But I'm going to choose heart. I'm going to choose heart. I'm going to choose clear heart, not fearful heart. I'm going to choose to clear the fear from my heart. Clear it back to source if I can do that. If I've got a consciousness that can just release that right back to source, release that right back to the universe, great. If not, put it into containment. Just let heart be free of that fear and free of that anxiety in heart. And free of any belief systems that might be guiding heart. So the heart is not free just to love, to choose compassion, to choose generosity of spirit. And then once I'm kind of in that place, it's amazing what kind of solutions kind of simply just fall into place. So it's about choosing heart, choosing to follow heart, not a fearful heart, not a fearful heart, and not a fearful brain. Choosing to not follow fear and not choosing to follow where fear is leading me. I got to clear the fear. I got to clear the fear. And interesting, Jared Hewitt, he's got a wonderful glyph for that. He's got a wonderful glyph for clearing the fear. And it's just called Clear Fear. And it's this crazy little drawing. And it's like you can just, you know, put it in your wallet. You can make little things of it. You can put it onto mirrors. You can just visualize it. You can just know that it exists and bring it into consciousness with this idea that I just want to clear the fear. I want to clear the fear. I'm never going to make good decisions in places where I'm fearful because I'm reactive, and we're never making good decisions when we're reactive. And that's what I feel has been going on with our government right now, is there's been a lot of decisions that have been happening at the Ontario government level from reactivity, reactive, emotional, fear-based decisions.
Yeah.
And therefore they're not clear. And yet these are the people, I don't care whether they're medical professionals, I don't care what degrees they have, I want clear. And if somebody said to me, okay, here's two people in the room. We've got the highly intellectual person who's got four PhDs, has spent all of his life in universities and colleges, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And you got the guy over here or the girl over here, and boy, she's clear. She's clear. But you know, she's clear. She's clear of heart. She's clear in mind. But you know, she went to high school and she did go to university, and maybe she went to university and took these courses, and she went to university for one degree and then went and did this with her life and this with her life. But she's actually really clear, or he's actually really clear. Which one would I vote for? Which one would I say, hey, would you please step forward to help to guide all of this? I'll tell you, I will take the clear one over the intellectual one all the time. Because the clear one has access to the right brain. The clear one is not just looking at left brain data, left brain solutions, double blind studies, blah, 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 blah. The clear one actually has access to a whole brain. And the right brain corridor is where we can bring in wisdom. All wisdom, all truth, all knowledge comes in through the right brain corridor. And that person who's clear knows that. Yeah. So solutions can come from that beautiful, magical place where she or he might say, well, I don't know. I don't know where this is coming from. Or if they're brave enough, they might say, well, my guides have dropped this in. Or they might just say, it feels like from that higher wisdom place within me. Or they might just say, well, this is what's coming in to me, and just own it. But it's coming in. It's not like it's new solutions, not solutions coming in from past pain, past history, past circumstances, scrolling through the subconscious mind data banks to find the best of the past. It's like, no, we need new solutions to these new problems. Because this is genetically modified material. This is new stuff. We need new solutions.
Yeah.
And so I would love it if these people that were stepping forward to lead would actually be clear leaders. I don't want to see reactivity. It makes me nervous when I see reactivity. And not just sitting there from a clear place and a solid, grounded, not emotional, but not shutting down heart center place. I don't want a bunch of people leading the show who have shut down their hearts, who are so fearful themselves, aren't capable of doing that kind of work, and then are spouting out a whole bunch of solutions for how this is going to be for us.
Yeah.
That's not okay with me. It's not okay with me. And I think it's not okay with a lot of people.
How many clear people do we have in politics, though?
Well, really, it's not even a political thing. How many people do we have that have a desire for clarity, that have a desire for being clear and wanting to be clear before they open their mouth, wanting to be clear about what it is that they're doing, what it is that they're saying, and a mandate that they might be putting down? I'm not just speaking about politicians.
No, I know.
Right? But it really is mastering of emotions. It really is about mastering of emotions. So like not being taken up or taken in by so much fear and so much emotional pinball machine that you're not able to be clear, to make clear decisions, to see wider, to see a bigger picture.
Yeah.
That's what I want. That's what I pray for. That's what I ask for. That's nice. Something that is in my new world. That's part of the butterfly that I want to create coming out of the chrysalis. Clear. You know, if people are going to take on leadership roles, I would like them to be clear. I would like them to be people that have mastered their emotions. You know, that have mastered their emotions, that haven't shut down their hearts, that are operating from a congruency of head brain, heart brain, and gut brain. And leaders that have not shut out the right brain and are allowing for intuitive things to come through. Right? Like we have a medical world here in North America that is so left brain and so shut down of right brain corridors, and doctors didn't used to be that way. They didn't used to be that way. They worked intuitively. They sat with patients. They had time to sit with patients. They were able to draw from the experiences that were their experiences for the last 10 years or 5 years and 10 years. And one of the reasons why you wanted to work with maybe an older doctor is because you valued the experiences that they had, not just the education that was their education. It was all the education that they got that they could act from and they felt free to act from. Then you'd be the benefit of that. You'd get the benefit of that. But now it feels like that's no more. It feels like there's just rules and regulations that are coming down from these governing bodies, and doctors do not feel free to operate from their intuitive capacities and from the experiences that they have had in the past. And they're either afraid to do that or they're being told they can't do that. And so everything is very left brain. It's very much double blind case studies. No, 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 no. And it's all justified from that place. And that's not clear. That's not working with the whole brain. That's not even allowing a beautiful, wonderful thing called a doctor or a nurse or somebody that we're looking to care for us and help us to actually be the fullest expression of them. That we would be in the presence of their spirit, their soul, their left brain, their right brain, their accessibility to the universe and to everything that could come through for us in that session, and that they would feel free and unencumbered to trust that, to act on that and trust that. And that is the sadness, the takeover of our consciousness, to say, this is the way, this is the way, this is the preferred way, this is the safe way, this is the protected way. You know, this is the way of not being sued.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay, but then we just completely leave out the right brain and a connection to new and innovative. And then the politicians would kind of be the same thing. You know, and if the only thing that a politician right now is following is the medical world and the left brain and all of the double blind studies and blah blah blah, and that's the only thing that's given permission to, you know, okay, we're in a big pickle.
Yeah. Big pickle.
Yeah, so to me, it's like, you know, I do think about these things because I'm putting my post-it notes together for the butterfly, what I care about. I want humans, the humans that are going to come out of this, the humans that are going to come out of this. I'm picturing that butterfly that's coming out of the chrysalis of all this lockdown. I'm picturing that butterfly as being beautiful, vital, big, lots of colors. you know, capable, competent, you know, able to do extraordinary things, fly extraordinary distances. You know, I picture that. And then I say, okay, and I want my butterfly, the consciousness of humanity, I want it to have access to its full brain, all of its brains, because what if the butterfly has a head and a heart and a gut and a congruency of all of those, and a knowledge and an acceptance of connection to this universe, to this cosmos, a knowledge and acceptance of connection to this earth, an idea of oneness and harmony. I like all the parts of that beautiful butterfly to be in harmony with all of its other parts, in connection and communication with all of its parts, where everything is flowing freely within the butterfly and beyond the butterfly, above and below. So I think about this. We are creating this. I loved what he said. We are creating this. We are creating the world that we're going to step into. Are we going to create a world? Because that's what's kind of going on. Are we going to create a world where kindness is off the table, generosity is off the table, compassion is off the table, connectedness to spirit, connectedness to soul, off the table, connectedness to personal freedoms, off the table, connectedness to physical body and self-authority of physical body, off the table, connectedness to the concept that we are our own self-authority, off the table. Connectedness to our credible potential for creativity from both sides of the brain, and also coming in from beautiful sources of guidance and spiritual guidance. Are we, is that off the table too? I think that's how we've been living.
Yeah.
I think that's how we've been living. We're not to live like that anymore. This is an opportunity to make this great change, this great turning of the caterpillar into goo and then out into this beautiful butterfly. It's our opportunity to do that. And I like to see it as the great reveal. Mm. It's the time of the great reveal. I haven't said that out loud before. So there's the woman who did a lecture 10 or 15 years ago, and I was listening to her, and I didn't realize how profound that lecture was. And I wish I'd taken more notes, and I wish I could find the notes, but she was talking at that time of this particular time in our history, so maybe 15 years ago. She was talking about this as being the time of the great turning. Mm. And she discussed this idea of a boat. She said, think of human consciousness as we're on this giant boat. And it's a big, big, big boat, and there are different levels of the boat. And where are you? As we're sailing these seas where we can't see the future, where we can't really see where it is that we're going, and we don't even know if we're going to succeed, where do you want to be on this boat? Well, you can't really see what's coming, and you don't even know whether you're going to succeed. Where do you want to be on the boat? You're going to be hiding at the bottom? You're going to be hiding at the bottom, cowering in your helplessness and powerlessness, just totally freaked out. You can't see where it is that we're going. We can't see where we're going. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. We can't see where we're going. We're not going to have any food, blah, 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 blah. We can't see. We're going to all starve. We're going to all starve. There won't be any water, blah, 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 blah. We can't see where we're going. Where's the land? Where's the land? Are you going to be down there in the helplessness, powerless as the bottom of the boat? You're going to be there at the bottom, but going to be in the middle of the boat where you're kind of on the fence, on the fence about helplessness and powerlessness. Well, I'm a little bit there. I'm a little bit there because I don't really see me, the power of me. I don't really recognize that. Or you're going to be on the top floor of the boat, where you're looking out. Where you're looking out, you're not hiding. You're not hiding, and you're looking out, and you still can't see land. And you still can't see land. Not anywhere around you can you see land. Not anywhere around you can you see where this boat is going. And are we going in the right direction? Are we going in the right direction? And we don't know if we're going to succeed. So are you going to be the person on the top of that boat that's saying, fuck it, I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to give it my best. Whether we succeed or whether we don't succeed, at least if I'm going down with this ship, I'm giving it my best. Where are you? And I'm going to give it the best of me. The best of me. I'm going to do my best to do the best and give it, yeah, and give it the best of me. Where are you? It's a choice point. Yeah. And then what she ended with is the best of you, just know this, the best of you is you connecting into your light. The best of you is you connecting in connection with your soul, your spirit, and the light of you. That's the best of you, and it will always be the best of you.
Nice.
But what I know now and what I like to say to people, game changer at the beginning of January 2019, game changer. We succeeded. What I mean by we, I don't have a clue. We, the greater collective we, the we that is us in connection with the cosmos and everything that came to help. Like the whatever the, you know, all of the extraterrestrial stuff that we see flying around, how much of that stuff came to help? We succeeded. We succeeded. We succeeded in repairing the grid light of this earth. We succeeded. It can all change now. For all of us. We can safely be our light now. We can safely reveal ourselves now. Where we could not do that before. So when she was giving me this lecture, she was right. We didn't know. It was before 2019. We didn't know. We're still on the boat. We're still on the boat. Where you are on the boat. But the one thing that's changed that maybe people aren't getting yet, we succeeded. We succeeded. The collective, we succeeded. And it can all change now.
Interesting.
So that's why I say that it's following heart. It's and not a fearful heart and not a contaminated heart. Because all of that contamination and fear and stuff can get taken to containment for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, maybe a whole day. Just choose that it stay there the whole day when you start to feel comfortable. So you can be with yourself, the true version of you. Making decisions from that place, making policy from that place. If there's any government official that's listening, making decisions from that place because we can always access that place.
Love it.
It's a choice. And lots of us don't know we have that choice. Anyway, I'll leave you kind of floating with that.
Yes, that's great. It is. Thanks, Trace. A lot of, Yeah, a lot of good information that we got here today.
Yeah.
I may want more information about what happened in January 9th in 2019, but yes.
I think I've said it before. It was like all I know is that was the time frame that I'm sitting and minding my business in my office, and this energy comes up through my feet, and mostly energy comes down from the sky.
Right.
Comes up through my feet, and then I can hear, I can hold you in your light. I can hold you in your light. I can hold you in your light. And I could just feel this energy coming up. And I kind of was connecting back to that energy going, you know, is this Mother Earth? Is this Earth? Like, where? And it was like, yes.
Nice.
I was like, wow. Okay. Can you hold everybody? No. Like, it was an instant no. And then I started to ask more questions about it. I was like, and it was almost like the Earth would be able to hold many of us. In fact, there was like 6 billion of us in a span of time. So it was almost like there was a rhythm to this, almost like I was shown seasons, but I wasn't to mistake it for real seasons, like a real season of winter, a real season, but to recognize that it was going to be a signaling up through people's feet, whether they felt it or whether they didn't, over a period of seasons. And right now we're in, I think, autumn. So there would be a signaling of people still going on in what would be considered, in the way that they showed it to me, the autumn season right now in 2021. So by the time 2019 was over, all of the spring flowers, so to speak, as they showed me that analogy, had been signaled through their feet. And then 2020, summer, and 2021, I'm assuming, but I haven't really looked yet, would be autumn, and then 22 would be winter. So we haven't all 6 billion of us that are going to be signaled have not been signaled yet. And then they're telling me right now, as I'm speaking to you, they're telling me that there are children that are here, that there's no signaling necessary because they're coming here already having made that change. Mm-hmm. Like, they already know.
Yeah, I feel that.
And they already know what that butterfly looks like.
Mm.
Anyway, I do have to, we can talk more about this, but I have to kind of exit.
Yep. Okay. Well, thank you so much. This has been a lot of good information. I really needed it today. So I appreciate it very much.
Yeah. So go contemplate, and you know what, go to Gaia. Like, everybody can get on Gaia.com and they'll give you that 14-day trial or whatever it is.
Right.
And go and connect in with Inner Evolution, Bruce Lipton. And also the other one that I would say to people to go look at is Greg Braden's older talk there. And it's called Cycles of Time. Mm. And he then blows the lid off this whole idea of what the verbiage is around climate change. And he just gives us a whole other way to see how that's being created. And it all has to do with the wobble of the planet in three different ways that it moves. And everybody in the world needs to see this particular 1 hour video, and it's very well done. So it's called Cycles of Time. You could see it potentially even for free just by signing up for that free 14-day trial and get your eyeballs into both of those things.
Nice.
And then Greg Braden's got this other series on there called Missing Link. And I haven't stepped into that one yet, but, or maybe this Cycles of Time is part of that Missing Link. Maybe that's truthful. Anyway, go do that.
Cool.
Gaia.com.
All right. Well, you've been listening to News for the Heart. We've been getting the Heart of What Matters with Tracy McBurney and following our hearts. Thanks, Trace.
Clear hearts.
Yes. Very good.
Clear hearts.
Clear hearts.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.